Hi guys, we hope you're enjoying the show you're listening to now. We have a show that we think you might like. I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And we present a show called Rise of the Robots,
where we cover such robot combat shows as
Robot Wars,
BattleBots,
King of Bots,
and BuggleBots,
where we recap these shows and review them, and document the rise of the robots.
You can find us on your podcast app of choice or at audioboom.com. Just search for Rise of the Robots.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCEU podcast. And because I'm an idiot, we watched Batman Death in the Family.
Yeah, you know, sometimes people should just listen to me. As my boss once said, unfortunately, Rebecca was right.
Yes. Death in the Family is an interactive film. So it actually has 7 alternative endings.
Unbelievable.
So the way that this is set up, it is obviously named after the infamous comic book where Jason Todd dies, though it's actually more just a kind of, Under the Red Hood was one of our better films, so let's just use it for the base of an interactive film.
Which they did not need to make.
No.
In any way. This is, like the original Death of Jason Todd, cynical, terrible, and mean-spirited.
Yes.
And the fact that it's for extra money as well makes it kind of worse.
Yes. So the only change, so they've recast, so it's actually even to the down to the, it's the same cast, so Bruce
Which
Greenwood
I'm
is...
shocked at. Like, Alan told me this just before we started recording, and I was like, we should wait until we talk about this, but I just want to express how shocked I am this is the same cast, because they are terrible here.
Yes. So Bruce Greenwood's playing Batman, John DiMaggio's back as Joker. I can't remember if Talia had a speaking part in the last film.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Nolan North is in it as Clark Kent, which, to be fair, Clark Kent isn't in the film, so it's not a recast as such.
But he's bad, and like I was literally shocked. I was like, how was that Nolan North?
And the main bit of recasting is Jensen Ackles is out as Red Hood, replaced by Vincent Martella, the kind of main character that he's played is Phineas Flynn from Phineas and Ferb.
Which I assume is more lively than this.
I'm guessing, yes. Oh, he also played the teen version of Jason Todd in Under the Red Hood. Apparently.
Don't remember that, but that's fine. Yeah, okay.
But
So what we're saying is they got rid of the adult-sounding Red Hood to give us the younger version, so we could be more horrified when he's being beaten to shit. Sorry.
That's fine. Yes. Jensen Ackles is too busy playing Batman now. We start the film with an extended look at the start of Under the Red Hood, including drawing out the crowbar.
It's really quite, like, I don't remember being as upset about it.
Well, it's kind of, because it's drawn out a lot more, I think, is probably the bigger thing here.
That's what I mean, it felt like it was, because I just don't remember feeling as hateful, he's beating a child, or like a tween or late teen, but it's unpleasant. I mean, it's unpleasant to watch if he's doing it to a person.
Yeah.
And it's like in a cartoon, doesn't make it any better.
So we start with an animated chase of Batman taking a nuclear material that had been traded between Joker and Ra's al Ghul. The He then is riding back towards the warehouse where Jason is being beaten to death. We have some flashbacks whilst Batman's doing this, explaining that Jason was out of control. Also, there seems to be this... They're leaning a lot more into this idea of, oh, Batman considers himself his Robin's father, and there's a lot more of a, I love you, son, and really kind of leaning into that, which is weird.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know, it's just like, it feels like a film where they hate everyone.
So, he tells Alfred that he's going to tell Jason to not go out of the field. Jason ignores him. Now, they've cut out the whole thing, which I know in the comic book there's a storyline with his actual mother, and that's why he's tracking, oh, that's how he ends up encountering Joker. So they've just completely got rid of that, because that's, I'm assuming, for brevity's sake, if nothing else. And instead they imply Jason is hunting Joker because of what happened to Barbara, which is, it implies that the killing...
Another distasteful story in the DC universe. I mean, you know, why not? Why not? Bring them all in.
Yeah.
Let's do the whole Killing Joke mentions. Why not?
So Bruce and Jason bump into each other in Bosnia. Each of them is tracking a villain. Batman's tracking Ra's, Jason's tracking Joker. They split up so Batman can capture the nuclear material. Jason is told, do not go in the warehouse. So inevitably he goes in the warehouse. We get a replay of Under the Red Hood. Except somehow Joker's laugh is worse. The re-recorded Joker's laugh for no reason.
Yeah.
We see Jason very slowly trying to escape. And we arrive at our first choice in this interactive film.
Oh, yeah. Of course, because it's interactive and therefore gross.
So, we get to choose which of the following options do we want. Do we want Robin to cheat death and be horrifically scarred? Do we want Robin to die, like in the canon film? Or do we want Batman to somehow save Robin? Spoiler alert, that kills Batman!
Yeah. That has to be death.
Yes. Oh no, because the only option you pick that doesn't have death, so we'll do the cheats death option first, because it's the shortest.
Mm.
So if he cheats death, Batman finds a heavily scarred Jason. Jason is taken back to Gotham, where he is in bed healing for 72 days with 27 broken bones and huge scarring down one side of his face.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, he suddenly becomes genre savvy and realizes that Batman's a psychopath.
It's just so freaking random.
And the problem is, you're sitting there going, no, he actually has a decent point, but we're meant to think that this is a bad thing.
I mean, it is, but yeah, we are.
Yeah. So he runs away after being well enough to run and becomes Hush for some reason.
Yeah, it's just, it's so stupid. I've like zero care for this. It was just dumb.
So he's wearing bandages. He's dressed like Hush. He starts slaughtering criminals, including Cheetah, Riddler, and Black Mask. Black Mask, they really go over the top. He gets blown up by a rocket, and the burning remains of Black Mask then lands on a petrol tanker that explodes.
Now, you don't even have a moment to think, oh, it's kind of nice to see Black Mask in something, you know? Because it's just everything else about it is dumb.
Oh, Black Mask does not talk in this film.
No, but I mean, it's kind of nice to see sometimes see different villains, and it's like, it's just, it's all thrown away.
One of the interesting characters from Under the Red Hood. No, we're not going to have any relevance to him. The only villain that talks in this film is Joker. No, so tell a lie, Two-Face does talk for like 2 minutes. So.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Two-Face has a little comment.
So Jason then is tracked down by Talia, who offers him Damian Wayne.
Yeah, weird. Like, okay. A cute little Damian, though. Like seeing him.
Mm. And Jason goes, oh, this is the perfect chance. I will turn Damian against both Talia and Batman,
like,
and get my vengeance.
For why? But, you know.
Which sounds like an interesting prompt for an alternative universe film. But that's it. That's all we're getting. We don't get anything more. They're punishing you for not letting anyone die, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, if you care about this, but yeah. I mean, like, I mean, it's really hard to care, because you just look at the choice. You're like, okay, let's go make the other choice. Who cares?
So, the next choice we'll explore is the one that is basically just the film that you've already watched, except not as good.
By far.
Because what we have is, we have, if you choose for Robin to die, and to be fair, why would you? There is a 90-minute film that does that already.
Yeah, if you really like hot for watching Jason die, go watch the better film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like,
basically,
I don't think anyone should watch any of them, but you know.
Yeah, you spend 20 minutes going, I could be watching Under Red Hood.
Mm-hmm.
I could be watching Under the Red Hood.
I mean, to be fair, I didn't think that once, but I did once think I could be reading Under the Red Hood, and then Death in the Family, and, you know, like, this is all a waste of my time. Like, as Alan knows, I had to watch it in two halves, because I was like, I can't take any more of it in one go. It's like, I felt like it was just rotting my will to live.
I mean, I think I even said to you, just skip this bit, because it's literally... literally, the only thing I've got is a note.
This was the better bit, because this is the proper story, at least. It's just like, you know, like...
Expansive, and actually, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, the story's terrible. Well, the story's... It is what it is. I'm not a massive fan. I do like Jason. I think the animation's not great here.
Yes.
Voice acting is dreadful.
Right,
and you're watching a film that pauses every 10, 15 minutes because you've got to make some stupid choice. So this is not the best way to ever re-watch any of these stories.
The worst part is, this section, what it is basically is, Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent meet for dinner and discuss the events of Under the Red Hood.
Yeah, and God, the narration is dreadful as well. And, like, Clark's not even interesting. Like, come on. As I say, it's Nolan North, and it's just like, even he didn't have... I mean, everyone must have known this is, like, trash.
So...
Or they were being paid very little.
So what you get as well is the animation style for the... for Bruce and Clark in the diner is new. It's the new animation, and all the flashbacks is just literally replaying Under the Red Hood, which is a better animated film.
Yeah.
So really you're literally going to this new footage that is worse made. The only part I've got a note on is, at one point, and I think you pointed this out as well, at one point, Batman, in this film, says the actual phrase, death is never a choice.
Yeah, which is just like... And I think maybe Talia or someone says it later.
Uh-huh.
Make some comment about choices of death. I was just like, okay, yeah, like, it's not even funny. Like, it's not offensive, but it's also not funny. It's just like, okay, you know... You're so edgy. Like, I really just don't know who the audience is for this film. Because if you want the story, you can get the story, and you can see all these characters being better in almost everything else.
Yeah. So, it ends with a ha-ha funny joke, because Batman has already paid for dinner, because Clark gets the same thing every time.
It's just... You know, it's like, okay, because, like, doesn't Clark say he's going to pay for it? And then Batman's like, no, boy.
I've already paid for it.
Yeah, I was like, Clark, why are you even paying for it? Come on. Like, Bruce's a millionaire. Like, I get that, Clark, you're a good boy, but, like, come on. You know.
Yeah.
have you ever had to pay for a meal when Bruce? And then, and also Bruce makes some sort of like chuckle, like going, ha ha, about his plan to kill Superman if anything goes wrong. And I'm like, it's a little bit out of place as well. Just like,
yeah,
hark back to that. So like, there's no need to raise it. He's sitting listening to you whining about what a terrible father you were.
Yeah.
To this kid who may not have been as perfect a stick for you, but like, you know.
We now get to the option that it is obviously the one they want you to actually pick, because it's the one they actually do an actual expansion of.
Yeah.
Which is, they want you to kill Batman.
Yeah. And you would think that I would get a chuckle out of that as well. Yeah. But, you know, no.
So we get Bruce Wayne is killed. He tries to get Robin to promise, don't kill Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh, okay, fine. Basically, use this rage, use this. He's trying so desperately to get Jason to follow his legacy, and he's like, why?
Yeah, he's just not very good.
Why, any time you've performed as Batman before this, you've been really good. Bruce Greenwood's been really good as Batman. He's just so
It really lifeless. Does sound like everyone is dialing this in. Like, it's surprising, because generally there's something good I can say about the voice acting, no.
So, you can now take one of two options. You can either choose for Jason to kill the Joker or capture the Joker.
Yeah.
So we'll go down the kill the Joker line first, because I have tried to actually make this into an order that makes sense. It's difficult to do, but I've managed to do it. So we start with the Bat family witnessing the funeral.
Yeah, that's an okay scene. I'll give that a thumbs up.
Followed by Jason is visited by Superman, Wonder Woman, Nightwing multiple times, and the Flash. And there's going to be a scene that we get to see Jason healing up.
Yeah.
And Jason heads to a diner where there is they're talking in the news report about Batman. It's clear that Dick Grayson is now Batman.
Yeah.
Which,
I'm just going to go back to before. The version of Dick we've seen previously in this film is horrible as well.
Yes.
He's like not, but this one's better. So anyway.
Well, he doesn't talk in this.
Which is probably why he's better.
Yeah. So, Jason is then talking to, there's a man at the diner who says, oh, he used to work with Batman, but he's getting therapy now.
It's very clear who this man is.
Oh, he's voiced by John DiMaggio. His face is very recognizable. It's Joker wearing normal people makeup.
Yeah.
It's almost, I know that this is the kind of, the idea is basically, Oh, without the real Batman to fight, there's no point being Joker.
Yeah.
Which does make, again, begs the question, would Gotham be better if Batman just didn't exist?
Yeah, and like, the answer is probably yes.
Probably, but that wouldn't be, they wouldn't be able to tell stories about that for some reason.
Yeah.
Joker then starts to tell the Killing Joke finale joke.
Because yeah, again,
we've got to invoke Killing Joke.
We can't not walk back to Killing Joke.
Because we have to reference all three of the kind of, so we have to reference Under the Red Hood and Killing Joke and Death in the Family at every chance we can. And it's at this point that Jason recognises it's the Joker, because he recognises the joke.
Mm-hmm. I think the smile as well.
Yes. Jason then reveals himself to Joker by saying the last thing that Joker said to him, and then kills him.
Yeah.
which
it's pretty satisfying.
Seeing the Joker dying is satisfying. At this point, you then have another choice. Because you can shoot, because the police arrive, well, instantly, the second Joker dies, the policeman's behind them.
Yeah.
So, you can then have two options. Either Jason can allow himself to be captured by the police, or you can fight out.
Yes. Which was, yeah, so there's a very weird one here. Like when, if you pick the, which one are you going for first?
If you pick the surrender option, it finishes very quickly.
Yeah.
Because he lets himself get caught in prison and becomes the vigilante jailbird.
It's so bad. I had to take a screenshot of this. It is, that's how bad it is. Like, he has, like, jail and bird tattooed on his fingers.
Yes. So, yeah, that's the thing that happens. But, though, what they want you to do, again, because it's obvious which film they want you to do, because they then expand out.
Yeah.
So, Jason then fights off the police officers, but doesn't kill them. He does, however, become Red Robin, who is the Punisher.
normally Tim's name, but yes.
Yes. So, he kills... it's basically the same... I think it is literally the same stuff replayed as cheats death option, except it's a different outfit he's wearing.
Yes.
So, we then cut to Red Robin battling Two-Face. And through circumstances, Two-Face has Red Robin at his mercy, has a gun set upon him, and he decides to flip a coin and choose what to do.
Yeah, which is crazy.
So,
I didn't really even know what these coins were supposed to mean when it's like, it's just like, okay, why am I tossing coins now?
Well, that's you get to decide what side the coin lands on. So the two options are, I'm assuming, a good side, which is the unmarked side of the coin, and bad, which is the marked. And I take it the thing you're meant to take from it is, oh, it's life and death.
Yeah, I figured that, but...
And look, if it was the face side, you'd go, oh, I'm not going to kill you. And if it's the scarred side, I am going to kill you. Mm-hmm. That's not what happens. So if you land a clean face up, Harvey Dent side up, I don't know what you want. Two-Face decides that the moral thing to do is to kill Red Robin, because Red Robin's bad because he kills people. Which you can kind of understand the logic. Sort of.
It's stupid, though. Again, yes. I just, like, shook my head and...
So, just before he's about to kill Red Robin, a kid electrocutes Two-Face and knocks him out.
Yes, which is strange.
Sorry, I'm not pausing to let you through. I'm pausing because this is so bad. So, the kid then draws a gun on Red Robin and begs him not to kill Two-Face, reminding Red Robin of what Bruce said to him.
Yes.
And Red Robin goes, okay, fine, I won't kill him. What's your name, kid? It's
Tim Drake. What a surprise, it's Tim.
It's Tim Drake. So Red Robin becomes a hero again, and he's joined by Tim Drake as Bad Boy!
Which is funny. But the funny thing is, okay, so this is the only thing that made me laugh in the entire thing,
was Tom's Bat Boy thing. His ears are sticking out. They look so stupid. It's like by far the worst bat off outfit I've ever seen.
And also, Jason obviously hasn't learned the lesson of taking kids out into the field.
Yeah, and it's just sort of, yeah, because why? None of these people ever learn.
The alternative option is Two-Face picks the bad side and says, oh no, it's more of a punishment to leave you alive. You're dead inside. Which breaks Jason, and he ends up in the Batcave too sad to carry on.
That's like kind of, that feels like the best resolution we've had so far.
Oh, yeah.
Which is saying something. I like sad bat family things, so.
Yeah. So, spooling all the way back to Jason is alive, Batman is dead, and the other option is capture the Joker.
Yes.
See, this just makes me cross.
Everything about this makes me, like, everything about this film makes me cross.
But this one in particular.
This one is particularly bad, and also some of the worst voices. So.
It's particularly bad because it lies to the audience.
Yeah.
So, if you pick capture the Joker, you become the Red Hood. And he keeps hearing a voice in his head saying, kill them all, kill Joker, kill, kill, kill. Now, Jason declares, oh, no, I'm not killing anyone. And you don't see him kill anyone. And, for example, when he fires on Black Mask, there's a bang flag in the rocket instead of a bomb. And it all comes back to the same scene from the film. Joker has a bunch of people in a truck that he's pouring gasoline on. Except this time Red Hood's not part of that gang.
Yeah, it's... Oh, this is very frustrating.
So, Red Hood and Joker fight. And Red Hood then unmasks in front of Joker.
Da, da, da.
And Joker starts to laugh, because of course he does.
Yes. And at some point we get another flashback to the frigging crowbar.
Yes. Because it then turns out Jason Todd has been misremembering all that stuff we just saw, and he has been killing villains the whole time.
It's...
Including he sliced Black Mask in half.
Yes.
And Joker is obsessed with, no, I'm your daddy now. I'm your papa.
Saying the words just... Why do people like the Joker? I mean, like, I get it. I used to like the Joker until I just felt so oversaturated with it. But now...
I've got to be honest. How on earth have they managed to make John DiMaggio's performance as the Joker bad?
Yeah.
That was one of the highlights around the Red Hood, is he was actually genuinely a good villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably one of the better versions of Joker.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
So, you then have an option which leads to the same outcome. So no matter what you do, the next choice you have after this is not influenced at all.
Yep.
So you can choose to spare the Joker.
Again.
In which case, Jason runs away and he is rejected by Barbara, and you see him being chased by Dick Grayson, Batman. And... Or alternatively, you can kill the Joker, in which case the Bat family does not explicitly reject you, but we do get a cameo of Lex Luthor reading about it in the paper, and we see Harley Quinn seeing the Joker get cremated and crying.
Well, we had to get her in.
Actually, that's maybe one thing. Obviously, this week, I mean, literally when we're recording this, it's the 1st of September. Arlene Sorkin did pass away earlier this week, which the original Harley Quinn.
Yes, yeah, we should have mentioned that.
We should have mentioned that at the start.
Because it doesn't, she doesn't, she deserves better than being attached to this episode.
Yes, no, absolutely. But, yep, so, either way, this ends up with Red Hood up the top of Wayne Tower, where he is approached by Talia, who's resurrected.
Sounds dead.
Who's resurrected Batman.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know.
And Batman is wearing Robin's colours and can only say Zur-En-Arr, which I believe is an alternative version of Batman.
Oh, right, so I'll... Is it?
Batman of Zur-En-Arr is...
Oh, yeah, so I thought it was just a flashback to the whole Zorro thing.
Well, it is. It is in this film, but that's... What it actually is there is a variant of Batman. Originally, he was just like an alternative universe. Now he is a nuller of the... What if there was an alternative version of Batman in another universe that kills? Because we don't have enough of those
standard
anymore.
Standard one, then.
Yeah. So, Jason is then offered a place in the League of Assassins.
Of course he is.
And you get to the final choice that you have to make.
Yes. Yeah.
So, life or death? We'll start with death first. Batman and Jason fight. Jason is able to kill Batman.
Just stabs him. It's not even an exciting death, even.
Though it turns out that Batman is holding a bomb, and he kills all three of Talia, Jason, and himself. And we get to see their burned corpses, which is lovely.
Batman looked quite good, didn't it? Skeleton on the bat suit, yeah.
Yeah.
Another moment that I was like, oh yeah, that's like another frame I don't mind.
So,
not so much that he's dead, like don't get me wrong, but like it was, I thought it was well depicted.
Yes. So the final option is Jason saves Batman. So Jason is able to knock Batman out. Talia then shoots him, but Jason is able to use his explosive helmet to knock Talia out. And Batman, Dick Grayson arrives. And Jason rejoins the family, which, considering that he might just have killed dozens of people, does seem a bit weird, but okay, we'll go with it. Barbara becomes Oracle, Dick Grayson is Batman. Jason retires for now, and Bruce is being kept in a cell as they try to cure him. And it turns out that Zur-En-Arr is referring back to the last words that Thomas Wayne said to Bruce, which was introduced in a flashback earlier. And Zur-En-Arr is meant to be Zorro in Arkham.
It's just, like, I don't know. I just wanted to hurt myself after watching it.
So, that was Death in the Family. We'll
never have to see it again.
You don't have to. You really don't have to.
No, please don't.
This, I mean... If you're ever tempted to watch this film, what to do is look at this film as you're getting under the red hood and watch that instead. Because at least if it's, you know, it's the same actors, except they're doing, like, decent performances. And it's actually an interesting story. And it's got a proper soundtrack. And this is just bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I can think of that they've picked this, well, I can see the idea of, oh, what if we did a,
you know, a multiple choice.
If we did a multiple choice film, and hey, the film that.
But I just don't think they need. I don't think anyone needs to do a multiple choice film. Like, they're not that great.
Well, I think there's only been a handful of times that's been done, and it is it's just a gimmick.
It's a gimmick. It was fine on Netflix, but it still breaks the action. It's still not a great thing, but it worked more smoothly there. But this is like, I wanted to turn it off after the first 10 minutes just from the voice acting.
Yeah.
Never mind the storyline or whatever. Like, if it was nothing else, I do not need to hear people say things in a monotone for the entire film.
Yeah, which, at least nothing else we cover will be this bad.
No, I don't think it can be.
So let's hop back up. Well, I say that and then I realise we've still to do the Injustice film.
I don't think even that. I mean, like, I don't like Injustice that much, but I hope it has at least good voice acting or something like that. Like, it has some redeeming feature, which I don't think this does, so.
So.
Plus, the Injustice film isn't retelling the same story that you've seen elsewhere better.
Yeah. So, the next film that we're covering is Batman Soul of the Dragon, which is kind of more along the lines of, so I believe that this is a completely original story involving Batman. And that sounds like an interesting idea. It seems to be kind of going more down the sort of idea of a martial arts film. The next one we've got after that is Justice Society World War II, which is set in the same universe as Superman Man of Tomorrow. As are the next two films we're doing after that, which is parts 1 and 2 of Batman The Long Halloween, which is another adaptation of a famous Batman story. I hope it's not a direct adaptation, because I remember The Long Halloween more being popular for its art than its story.
Right. I wouldn't mind reading it, though, so.
And after that, the next thing we're doing is Aquaman, King of Atlantis, which
be a nice change.
Yep, it is another of these films that is a combination of episodes into one solid film, and features, I think it's meant to be a bit more of a kind of light-hearted film, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be a bit different. It's all on the way up from here, right?
Yeah. So that's the films we've got all coming up. Oh, I'm just seeing over the a couple films after that we're doing League of Super Pets. So that's something.
Yay! I like that.
Yay. That's what's all coming up. Have you appeared on any of our podcasts recently?
Lots of Moon Knight. There are so many Moon Knight issues out this month. We lost track, but we also have a couple of really cool creator interviews. So, Into the Night, Moon Knight podcast. Give it a look.
Fantastic. Meanwhile, I'm still doing Rise of the Robots. We are just getting towards the end of BattleBots Season 5.0, which is the last of the first version of BattleBots. Well, I'll put it this way. There are some episodes of this I would rather be watching Death in the Family.
Oh, jeez.
So that tells you how that's going. Yep. So, after that, Grizz and I are going down to Wolverhampton this weekend for an event called RoboNerd, and which, yes, a load of old robots from Robot Wars meet in a car park. And we are going to start recording our next season down there.
Yeah, cool. That's pretty fun.
So that's what's coming up in our near future.
Nice.
Anyway, we will be back in 2 weeks' time with... And I've forgotten the name already.
Batman Ninja.
Soul of the Dragon.
That's it.
I keep on wanting to say Son of the Dragon, and I was like, no, that's the podcast we cover.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. All right, we'll speak to you then.
Awesome.
All right, take care.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 international license. Thank you for listening.